Hi everyone, and welcome back to Problems of a Teenager podcast, where we bring teens from all across the world to talk about their problems and how they got through it. My name is Keon Williams, and I'm your host for today. But before we get into today's episode with self-care with Drianna Smith and self-love, make sure that you stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear about any special news coming up regarding Problems of a Teenager podcast. It's so great to hear you all again, so great to see you all, and trust me when I say this episode is not to be missed. See you all soon, and POATP, signing out. Hey everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode of the National Youth Mental Health Podcast, Problems of a Teenager, where we bring teens from all across the world to talk about their problems and how they got through it. Wow, I haven't said that in a while. I'm so glad that we're back from that long break. I know it's been a while, but I promise you all the love that you've been giving me for the last past 4 years that I've been putting back into the community. Now, let's get into the episode. I'm Keon Williams, writer, executive producer, youth advocate, and your host. I can't believe that we're back, giving you all the information, facts, and tips that you can use to help yourself and others from all around the world. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another brand new episode of Problems of a Teenager podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. I'm so great to have Drianna and her dog here today. This just really lets y'all know that here at Problems of a Teenager podcast, we don't do any editing. We make sure that everything is real, it's raw, and this really, you know, contemplates love and action, and just help our self-care journey. So, Dre, let's get right back into the questions. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
So, I would say body image and self-love, you know, are closely connected together. Yes. So how do you encourage a healthy relationship with one's body and, you know, promote body positivity in your own life?
I always say that your body is your temple. Whatever you put in your body, I'm a believer that it comes out of your skin. So I feel like it's okay, you know, to eat your hot fries, hot Cheetos, Takis, whatever. But making that something that you do every day, eating junk every day, that's not good for your body. And it can affect, like, how you process certain things or how you think. Mm-hmm. I love my vegetables. I love my fruits, all of that. My salmon, all of that. I like all my, you know, my healthy things. However, I may want to pizza here and there or whatever, but I try to balance it out. I feel like eating junk food every day is not gonna help you in any way, shape, or form. Drinking water is an important thing. Try to drink at least 5 cups of water every day. If not 5, do more. I carry my little sparkly water bottle. Y'all see me every day with my water bottle. Yeah, make sure you're drinking your water.
Definitely do, Dre. We definitely
yes. If it's regular water, cucumber water, lemon water, whatever. I love my ice too. I feel like, and then another thing, when you see people who are really skinny with, you know, the new image thing is a big butt and a skinny stomach or whatever. 9 times out of 10, it's not real. And you know, whoever got what they got done, y'all do that. Period. But realistically, I don't want people thinking that's the image of a woman or specifically a black woman. I want people to feel like your body is beautiful any way, shape, or form. As long as you are healthy, just because you're fat does not mean you're healthy. And or does not mean that you're unhealthy. Because I know a lot of skinny people who eat real bad and they, no. But I just want people to know, like, no matter how you look, whatever, you're beautiful at the end of the day. As long as you have a beautiful spirit, you carry yourself in a great way. You can't be around here just being disrespectful to people and expect them not to call you certain things when you act a certain way towards people. You get what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like you get what you put out. Mm-hmm. And if you're a beautiful person, you have a good spirit, and you walk around here like you own the place, then you're going to get that energy back in return 10 times.
Right. See, realizing self-care and self-journeys and everything is also realizing that, like I said, what you do affects people. If you can show so much self-love and so much, well-being to yourself, I feel like you're able to also show that to other people.
The same stuff that you give to these celebrities, you can give to yourself 10
Exactly.
times.
10 times more. And I feel like that's very important for people to understand, especially, like I said, in our generation, because a lot of people don't understand how much self-compassion play in the entire mental health journey.
Right. And I
Both.
think growing up plays a part in that too. When you don't get the love from your parents that others may get, it definitely can hinder how you feel about yourself.
That's a whole oof, that is a whole another topic.
Child. Okay, we gonna
That's a whole another topic, and we
right.
gonna get into that.
Okay.
We gonna get into that. I promise you, we will. Now this is the question also that has been asked for me to a fan, so I'm gonna go ahead and ask this question really here for you all. In a society that sometimes, I guess, stigmatizes mental health discussions, how do you promote an open conversation about self-love and mental health well-being? Now, promoting open conversations about self-love and well-being in a society that may stigmatize such requires a multi-phase approach that prioritizes empathy, education, and inclusivity. And it's very important. So a few strategies, and I'm gonna give you eight strategies. I mean, a quick eight couple of eight strategies right here. You have to normalize the discussion. All right, you have to participate in mental health, self-care, and just share your personal experiences, stories of resilience, and examples of individuals and challenges that you may have become.
Right.
Two, provide education. Okay, offer accurate information about mental health and well-being. This is what Problems of a Teenager podcast is here for, so I'm not even going to get too much deep into that, but that's also very important. Create safe spaces. Making sure that not only you, but your peers, your entire school district, are creating safe spaces for you to establish safe and judgment-free environments where individuals can feel comfortable expressing their thoughts and emotions. Like, there's a lot of things and a lot of people that aren't able to do that because of their environment that they're around. Lead by example. Number four, as a podcast host or advocate, whatever you want to call me, leading by example. And discussing your own journey and your own mental health and self-care is very important. It helps with the triumphs and the coping mechanisms to inspire authenticity and, vulnerability in our entire community. Collaborate with experts, doctors, health professionals, counselors, and advocates such as myself with credible information and resources. To empower peer support. Peer support goes a long way. Believe it or not, peer support really goes a long way, and it's very important for everyone to understand and to address these topics because it can foster a sense of belonging and reduce isolation and provide practical advice and encouragement. Number seven, address cultural and intersectional factors. So recognizing that your discussions around mental health and self-love may intersect with various cultural, social, and identity factors. So be inclusive and share your experiences and your perspective and acknowledge the other unique challenges that may be faced by different communities. And the last one, and I love to do this every single day, promote self care practices. Highlight the importance of self-care practices. It's like tools as far as in mental maintaining I'm sorry maintaining mental well-beings and to offer practical tips and techniques such as self-care and such as mindfulness and relaxation exercises and boundary setting, because that's very important, understanding your boundaries. Now, this is going to be the last episode and the last I'm sorry the last question for this episode specifically, because this has been a really, really great episode. And thank you again, Dre, for coming and visiting us today. Like I said, you and your dog,
I'm happy to
but
be.
it's okay, it's okay. How do you deal with failures without letting them negatively impact your self-esteem and or self-love?
Can you say that one more time, boo?
Of course. How do you deal with setbacks or failures without them letting, without them negatively impacting your self-esteem or self-love. So just making sure, let me just, repeat that in a, easier way for you to, and everyone else as well. But how do you deal with setbacks or failures without letting them really get to you, and how much you love yourself and your self-esteem?
Well, I'm a person, I feel like I have a great way of reading people in a way. And I feel like I'm gonna be able, like I told you, hurt people hurt people. And when someone says something, well, I'm gonna speak for then and now. Then, when I was feeling how I was feeling about myself in a negative way, whatever anybody would say would affect me, because I am a very emotional person. And whenever someone would say something, I would think, like, is this really true? Like, I would really downplay myself about it. But I had to realize that you are you. You are gonna be you. Whoever, like, I and words do hurt. However, everybody gonna have something to say about you to the day that you die. Everybody is gonna find something to say, and it may be out of jealousy and maybe out of spite. But as long as you do your part and you stand 10, as you stand tall, you stand tall, and you do, like, people just have to realize everybody's not gonna like you. You're gonna be in rooms with people who you don't like. You're gonna be in rooms with people who you just can't stand sometimes. But at the end of the day, it's about doing what you gotta do and then going about your day. Have that type of decorum to handle that situation like a classy person, like classy individual, like a person who's hold your head up high, do what you gotta do and go.
There we go. Self-confidence, self-worth are like very important.
Very
I
important.
really, really, really do thank you, Jere, and just
You're welcome, bro.
that's all for today. Okay, that's really all for today. Ooh, I haven't said that in a while, but just make sure that you all don't forget to listen to us on every other streaming service for more episodes, including iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Spotify, Audible, Anchor Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and way, way more. Also, don't forget to follow us on social media, again, at Problems of a Teenager Podcast with no spaces. And don't forget to tune in every single month or so for a new episode of inspirational quotes like this. You're born to be real, not to be perfect. Bye.
Adriana Smith herself.
I thank you again, Dreanna. This
Yeah.
is so helpful to not only me, but to your entire community. And
And I
this
hope I have
example,
people. Yes.
yes. And this is an example of what you can do and what your other peers can do as well. So thank you for listening to season 2, episode 3 of Problems of a Teenager Podcast with Jerron Smith. POTP. Signing out. Today on Problems of a Teenager Podcast, me and Driana Smith will be discussing self-love and self-worth, with tips and guides not only to improve yourself, but others from all around the world. But before we dig into that deep topic today, let's get into the episode first by introducing our lovely, lovely guest, Driana Smith.
As your host said, my name is Gianna Smith, and I'm excited to be here, and I'm ready to talk about some things.
Thank you, because y'all know we all got a whole lot of things to talk about, and I just really, really, really can't wait. But let me explain a little bit before we hop in. Self-love isn't just about pampering ourselves with bubble baths and indulgent treats, although those can be nice too. It's about recognizing our worth, embracing our flaws, and prioritizing our mental, emotional, and physical health in a world that often demands perfection. Practicing self-love is a radical act of determining our future, reminding us that we are deserving of love and acceptance just the way we are. So please make sure that you stay tuned to the end of this episode and let me know what you think, or if you have any questions to ask Driana yourself, or connect with us on Instagram or any other social media at Problems of a Teenager Podcast with no spaces. Just really cannot wait. But if you also have any more questions for Dreanna, please make sure that you email me at problemsofachievingpodcast@gmail.com. So, Dre, let's get deep into these questions because I know you're ready, right?
I'm ready. I'm very ready to prepare myself.
So, the first question is, what does self-love mean to you personally, and how has it played a role in your mental health journey?
What self-love means to me is doing things that you do for other people, but doing it for yourself. Because for me, for example, I'm a very giving person. I'm a very big-hearted individual, and I have a hard time not helping people when I know that they need me, regardless if they're using me or whatever. But I had to learn from certain situations that I need to give that love and pour it into myself. I come first before anybody, and nobody gonna have you like you gonna have you. And I
Right.
feel like how it played a part in my mental was back, I want to say back in like 2020 during COVID, I was going through a big battle with myself about how I viewed myself. Did I think I was beautiful? How I viewed my body, all those things. And I came to the realization that I am Dreanna Monet Smith. I'm gonna be me regardless of whoever feel how they feel. It's gonna be what it's gonna be, and I was here for a reason. And I just had to learn the things about me. A thing that helped me was writing my poetry, how I express my feelings, looking in the mirror every day, saying my daily affirmations, and walking around like I own it. Like, the confidence plays a big part in how I live my daily life day to day. And I just feel like I want to help other people build their confidence and just know that you're the best you and nobody else can be you.
All right. I feel like, that's very important, especially in, I would say, in our generation, to where self-love and self-validation are very significant. And it does impact your mental health and well-being very important because, if you can't love yourself, how are you supposed to love anything else? How are you supposed to love what you do? How are you supposed to love who you communicate with and love the things that you do? Like for me, it's band. For you, it's band. For us, it's school, everything else like that. So making sure that those things are handled and making sure that our priorities are handled while also protecting our mental health and well-being is like, yeah, you're right. It's very important. So I heard that you say, saying your daily affirmations, everything, because I have a question about that. So like, are there any other specific self-love practices or rituals that you may find particularly effective in maintaining mental health well-being?
It's for me personally, it was just something that just came naturally. I would just look in the mirror and be like, you're beautiful, you that girl, you're gonna have a great day today. Just embracing myself, loving on me. And that really helped a lot. And I feel like when people tell you, it gives you like a, oh, he thinks I'm pretty or she thinks I'm pretty. But when you tell yourself, it's like, that's who you are, like, regardless of whoever, whatever somebody got to say, no justification from nobody gonna give me the confidence that I'm gonna give myself.
All right. I love that. See, making sure that, we practice our rituals and just basically, do things that help maintain our well-being. It's very important.
It
A
is.
lot of people don't understand that, and a lot of people do, but making sure that parents, that our children and that your children understand it, and making sure that our peers understand that, making sure that our community understand that, it really can cut back on some of the drawbacks that we get from mental health disorders and mental health illnesses.
And I feel like when you speak how you feel, you're ugly or whatever, that's causing you to train yourself to believe that. So you're not gonna get nowhere if you keep speaking it on yourself that you ugly or you can't do this or you can't do that or you want to be like that person, that person. I tell everybody all the time, you look at these celebrities, you look at anybody, they're not perfect and they go through things just like you. You just don't see it. The same person that you think is the most beautiful person on earth probably thinks they're the ugliest person on earth. Regardless of how you view someone, doesn't mean that they view that their self that way. So you looking up to these people, it's kind of hindering you to you in a way because they probably don't value themselves as much as you probably see them. And I feel like when it comes to people looking up to other people, at the end of the day, y'all, I'm sorry, excuse that, but at the end of the day, it's just about you being a person for yourself. And it's okay to look at people and be like, oh, I want this, I want that. Better yourself in that way. If you want to look this way, work that, work to get that way. Do that.
Right.
Right.
So let me ask you a question. What role does, you know, self-compassion play in your mental health journey? And how can individuals create a compassionate attitude towards themselves? You know, other than just saying, you know, in the mirror, I look beautiful. Do you think there's anything like,
I would say surrounding yourself around a good group of people who you know that you love and trust. I feel like feeding off of energy from people around you definitely helps you. When you have a great group of friends, for me, I have a small circle, but I love all my friends, but my circle is very small. And I have people around me who encourage me every day to do better, who tell me when I'm wrong, who hold me accountable for things. I feel like it's about having a good support system. When you have people around you who care for you and love you, it gives you more to, it gives you more to say, like, oh, this person really loves me. They care for me. I want to do better for myself and for them. Mm-hmm. When someone tells you that they want you to live, they want you to do certain things, it's like, my friend always tell me, no matter what I tell you, you're going to do what you want to do regardless. I could tell you something till I'm blue in the face. You still going to do it or you're not going to do it. It's about you at the end of the day. And I feel like for me, them showing me that they care, give me the encouragement, give me the support to be like, you're going to have to get through this. Like, it's about that time.
All right. I understand that. So, since we're, you know, getting deep into personal issues and personal beliefs and everything, can you share a time when you faced self-doubt and how you overcame it, you know, emphasizing the role of self-love in the process?
I want to say I will always question how I looked or if I was beautiful or not, or if this person thought I was pretty or that person. I will always try to find justification from a guy in some sort of way. And I want to say this was probably around, probably around COVID or whatever. I would go on Instagram and be like, I want to be like this person. I want to be like that person. I would talk myself down and try to bring up an image of someone to just like talk bad about someone to make me feel better. It's like hurt people hurt people. And I was very, very depressed at that time. I'm surprised that I made it. It was a very dark time. I used to get teased in school when I was younger, and I think that probably affected me too. When it's like these people around you telling you these things, your mind trains you to believe it. But I feel like as I got older, I just started to realize that I'm Dreonna Smith. This is who I am. This is how I'm going to look. If I don't like something, I'm going to change it myself.
Right.
And I'm still on this journey as of today to loving myself, being the best me, doing what I know makes me feel good, going taking myself out on dates, taking myself to get pampered, taking the time out of my day to make me feel good so I could help everybody else around me. Because if I don't feel good, I'm going to be the most nastiest, evil person. Like, if I don't feel good, don't talk to me, don't do none of that. I'm just going to be in an evil, nasty spirit type of thing. I'm not going to feel good at all.
All right, I understand that. And see, I guess what a lot of people don't understand, some people do, like me and probably, but all of that does start off at a young age. So, like, bullying, especially, and depression, and it's, there is no age limit. There's no minimum age, and there is no maximum age of when that can happen, and then how that can affect you, and how that can affect your future, and not only your future, but the future of the others around you. Because I feel like we all, everyone, has had a time where they felt, you know, bullied or made fun of in some type of way. How that they came back from that, and how they grew up, and right. they, you know, how they figured out who they were in that process. So while we're also analyzing, while we're also realizing self-care and self-journeys and basically self-love, we also have to realize what we say, words to some people, maybe not to a lot, but to me, some people does hurt. We have to understand that what we say has consequences, and then the traumatic overstep that bullying has on self-love and self-hate, like, it's a setback. That's a setback from your self-esteem. That's a setback on your self-love. And not only can that be a setback on yourself, but it can be a setback on society that we still have to overcome till this day. Something that still stigmatizes a mental health disorder that we can't run away from. So it's either do it or don't.
Right.
So, like, you know, that just, you know, that really spoke to me, Dre, because, you know, I had my own experiences with bullying as well in middle school. And I've understood that, you know, through that time and through that process, to where I've had to realize that, Keon, you just can't, you know, and make excuses for anybody anymore. Are they really your friends, or are they just some people that just hang around you and use you for what you have?
Right, use you for what you have.
Exactly, and that all comes together and comes back to self-love and self-influence. Now, last question before you go on break, Dre. Social media can heavily influence perceptions of self-worth. So how do you manage your relationship with social media to protect your mental health and foster self-love?
I've never been one to always be on social media. Mm-hmm. However, back in middle school, I was on it quite a bit, and I would, like, express myself on there, things like that, which I don't do anymore. But I would say, when you look at your favorite celebrity or actor, whoever, when you see them, you start to worship these people. You start to do things that make you want to feel like this person, or you start to just look at these people's lives. Because Instagram, it's not real at all. It's not reality. It's fake. So you see these people do these things, and it's like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do this. But it's like, behind closed doors, it's not real. Like, people just have to understand that. Hold on, I want to say this. I just feel like social media as a whole is very draining for our community, our generation. It causes a lot of issues that don't need to be there at all. I feel like it stirs up the negativity within you. Because you have people that can go on your comments and say nasty things to you. You have people that can send you nasty messages. You have all these things to where it's so accessible to be negative. And it's very scary in a way, because you would think social media is to bring awareness. You would think it's to communicate with loved ones, or what it's initially for, to communicate with people around the world. But people started to use it as a attack to people. People started using it as negative intent to hurt other people.
Right.
And I feel like you have to be that person to say, this is not worth my well-being. This is not worth me living a great life. I'm going to cut this out, and I'm going to just live my life. And once you do that, you will definitely be happier, because you're starting to love on yourself. You're starting to do all these things, and you don't have things that you're looking at that just, like, dang, you get back in that, oh, I want to be that person, or I want to do what that person's doing. You start to train yourself into being like, this is my life and I want to change my life in a better way to live a better life.
Right. I understand that. So before we, you know, go into our break, I had one question for me personally that that a fan just emailed me a couple of days ago when I brought to you all that I was doing a panel on self-love. So I'll answer this question. The question was, as a focused mental health advocate, what resources or tools do you recommend for young individuals seeking to enhance their self-love and overall mental well-being? So I really do suggest therapeutic apps. For me personally, I love things like Headspace and Calm and Mood. Yeah. And,
right.
Like those things, it really helps. It really helps. And not only, go ahead, Jerry, please.
It's nothing to take a time out of your day just to sit down, breathe, mm-hmm. think about your day, just think about what you want to do, and just try to plan it out within time spans and don't mm-hmm. go so quick. I like using the word short-term goal because people like to go big when they first starting to do something. Take it one step at a time. Take baby steps.
Right.
It's okay to do, you know, 1 minute, lead up to 5, 10, 15, and go higher as you go. And making a thing, be consistent. And when you're consistent, it builds, you know, it starts building, and you're used to it. And it's just a thing that you just do.
I understand that. I do. I do appreciate you coming on for our first half, Dreyana.
Yes, sir.
Y'all, this has been a very, very, very good half of the episode. But I think you all know what time it is. I know you want to hear more, but sadly, it's time for a break. So make sure you grab your drinks or chips and take time to go to our social media pages at Problems of a Teenager Podcast with no spaces. So you can follow us and then you'll be able to hear when we post new episodes and hear announcements about our podcast episodes and podcast guests and also for daily quotes. Thank you all and welcome again to Problems of a Teenager. Hey everyone, and thank you all for listening to today's episode of Problems of a Teenager Podcast, hosted by Keon Williams. I'm so great to see you all, and it was so great to hear you all today, and I'm very proud of being listened to in 18 different countries for over 4 years of podcasting. I'm so glad to hear you all, again, to see you all, and to love you all. With Problems of a Teenager Podcast. I would like to also say thank you to Dreyana Smith for today's episode and her dog. thank you all for listening. And make sure you listen to Problems of a Teenager Podcast on all the podcasting platforms. And follow us on every single social media at Problems of a Teenager Podcast with no spaces and no uppercase letters. Love you all and see you all soon.